When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to another video and podcast from Fantasy Football Scout. Yes, it's game week 9 and usually we ask a simple question. Is it time to captain so-and-so? Is so-and-so the best captain? This week's a bit different. This week we have a real contest, a real form versus fixtures debate. But more on that later. Tom, joining me as ever. How are you doing, Tom?
Yeah, good, thanks, Joe. Short turnaround. Game week 8 obviously finished last night. Game week 9 kicks off on Friday. So I guess if you had a bad week, at least you haven't got too long to ponder it. But all good this side, thanks.
Definitely. So yeah, it's game week 9 we're looking at here. There's a certain Chelsea striker with a great fixture, but a certain Liverpool winger, striker, whatever you want to call him, a forward, attacker, who just can't stop scoring. But before we come to them, I understand you wanted to say a few words about Fan Team, particularly this week.
Yeah, just a reminder, really, to sort your teams out. I suppose now, really, if you're playing the knockout game, there's a couple of early kickoffs today at 5:45, including Man City against Bruges. And there's also two daily games as well, Tuesday and Wednesday Champions League games, which are worth a look on the site too. Check it out.
Excellent stuff. The eagle-eyed viewers out there will notice that I'm a little different today. I'm wearing glasses. I've got to wear reading glasses and I'm finding them a little bit better with the screens. But because I don't need glasses all the time, I'm having to look at a variety of screens and I'm not quite sure about it yet, so I'm going to keep it. I'll keep it going and see if everything's clearer, and see if I can press the right buttons. But if it looks like it's problematic, I shall take them off, waft my hair in slow motion as I do it as well. No doubt. Welcome all those who are joining us, the early birds for this stream. Fizz, who is not very keen on Lukaku, it seems. Kudek Washi, who is joining us from Cape Town. I'd never been to Cape Town. I wish I had while my uncle was still alive, who lived there for many, many years. James Linesh, Shakir, Mark O'Leary. Hiya, Mark. Always here. Good stuff. Jack Brokenshire, Martin, El Nico, Agent AA, and Stian, and many more. So sorry if I haven't mentioned you. Thanks so much for joining us. Only 17 likes. Loads of you here, but just 17 likes. So press, smash whatever you do with that like button. Just, you know, obviously, you know, give us a YouTube cheer with that like button. Salah or Lukaku? Salah's got Manchester United, Lukaku's got Norwich. Who are you going to captain?
Well, at the moment I'm on Lukaku, but we'll talk a little bit about Salah first, maybe, and then move on to Lukaku. It kind of makes sense.
Yeah, so, I've got some stats while you're talking. I've got some stats on the screen, and we'll mention them as well. This is the last four matches, so it compares Salah and Lukaku. So you can see there's some differences.
Yeah, I mean it's maybe not quite as clear cut as we first thought. This, I know, when we were kind of eyeing up this game week a couple of weeks back, it was Lukaku was quite a clear leader, but. You know, in recent matches, Salah has been completely unplayable, hasn't he? Mm. I mean, he's averaging, I think, 10.4 points per match at the moment. I mean, I've been playing FPL for a long time and I can't remember a streak like this before, to be honest. I mean, it's unbelievable. And the hauls are coming in the games which you expect them to, but also in the tougher games as well. You know, we've seen him deliver against Chelsea, against Man City now. These games are traditionally tight ones between United and Liverpool. Mm. There was a few goals last year. I think it was a 4-2, and there was a few goals in the cup game. But generally, if you're looking back over the past few years at the fixtures, it's generally been pretty tight. But I just think this is a different Liverpool this year, isn't it? I mean, the attacking form is just, it's frightening. I think they've scored 27 goals in the last eight games.
I mean, have we had, I mean, all those previous games, which have been, my memory is it's 0-0 or 1-0 somewhere.
Tight games,
But I can't remember a time when you've had this combination of Salah being in such good form and Manchester United's defence in such poor form. I've never known that combination to happen at this time.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think they're averaging just under 20 shots per game over the last eight as well, which is just crazy. And we talk about United, I mean, we all watched them at Leicester at the weekend. They're struggling at the back, aren't they? I mean, Varane was out, Maguire came back, but possibly too soon at the weekend. I mean, he really had a difficult time against Iheanacho. And I think when you'll probably draw up a table shortly. I mean, I had a look at some stats over the last four game weeks. And I think they're 19th for non-penalty XGC. They conceded seven, albeit four of them at the weekend. I don't think they kept a clean sheet during that time either. So it's understandable people are looking to Salah at the moment. I suppose if you're unsure, you might be thinking, well, look, United last season against the big teams did do pretty well, didn't they? They kept it relatively tight in most of those games. You'd expect them to revert to, say, McTominay and Fred in a double pivot, Pogba probably further forward. But it just, but like you said it before, it feels a bit different this time. There seems to be a much larger gap between the two. And the fact we're even talking about Salah first in this captaincy video suggests how close it is as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I look at, I mean, just to go over those stats for the benefit of those listening on the podcast. This is last four game weeks. Expected goal involvement. Salah has scored four. He's had two assists and he's expected to be involved in just over three. But what's shown is that his stats are great, but is also slightly stat busting as well. So he is exceeding expectations for the stats, but you got to remember these top players, they always do that though, because it's so clinical. And what he's doing at the moment is he's getting a lot of those shots on target, which I've been studying Salah's stats for a while, over the years doing the scout cast and the captaincy video. So he's had 14 shots inside the box and 10 of those have been on target and five of them have been big chances. So that says to me that those shots are of high quality. They're on target and they're resulting in goals as well. And what you've often seen with Salah is you would have a huge number of shots, absolutely huge number of shots, perhaps even inside the box, but there'd be a huge, half would be off target or they just wouldn't be of a quality. But there's so many of them that he would, of course, score or assist along the line. But I've never quite seen it this clinical. And so a lot of people are saying, you know, best player in the world, should be up for all the honours. And at the moment, I can't see any. I mean, the clips against Watford, they're like watching those clips of Messi in his prime. You've got, you know, 10 lower standard footballers around them and they just sort of moves around them, jinx around them and scores.
The goals against Watford and City have just shown how he just seems to have taken it up another level, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Which is scary. One thing I will mention is Liverpool play Atletico tonight and then they have a nice amount of rest time between now and the Sunday kickoff. That doesn't apply to Lukaku, which we'll touch on shortly. Yeah. But for those backing Salah, that's obviously an encouraging thing, the amount of rest they'll have.
Well, so, I mean, the Salah stats are clear. I mean, he's absolutely top of his game. And we'll come to the sort of whipping boys in a minute to see how Norwich and Manchester United compare. But, yeah, you mentioned with Lukaku. So his rest is a few days. So he's midweek matches Wednesday, he then plays Saturday lunchtime. Salah completely different. He's talking Tuesday to Sunday. So you're going to be really looking at those minutes for Lukaku. There is every chance that Lukaku... I mean, where would Lukaku be rested? The important Champions League game or against Norwich?
Yeah, and the fact he came off early against Brentford too, and Tuchel specifically said after that that he was a bit tired following that muscle fatigue issue as well during the international break when he left the Belgium camp early. Mm. So I think we really want to be watching those minutes tomorrow. Yeah. If he plays 90 tomorrow night, I think I might be a little bit worried come deadline on Friday.
Yeah, I mean,
So something to think about.
so look, in comparison to Salah with the shots, just five inside the box, one on target. So it's 1 to 10. Salah's had 10 shots on target to Lukaku's one. He's expected to have been involved in about 1.5 goals. I'm not sure what half a goal looks like, but he was expected to be involved in about that. He's created six chances, no goals, no assists, and one big chance in total. I mean, that says to me you've got a player not in form. But then and I'm sure we're going to get this in the chat. We're going to get this on Twitter, but it's Norwich.
Completely. I mean, four straight league blanks, it's underwhelming, and it's not exactly the kind of form that we want to be taken into a game week as our captain. What I would say is that he's had a couple of goals disallowed during that time. Narrow offside calls too, which aren't included in those statistics. He had the one against Brentford and then the one against Southampton too. I think you'd hope this weekend that Tuchel would be a little bit more attacking. I thought they were quite reserved against Brentford at the weekend. And I think getting Reece James and Mason Mount back in is really important too. I think Lukaku has a good connection with them from what I've seen so far. So that could be important to monitor in their minutes in midweek. You touched on Norwich then. I mean, they've improved it. They do seem to have improved since they went to a back three. They've kept a couple of clean sheets, but who were they against? They were against Burnley and Brighton. So, we're not talking about elite attacks here by any stretch. I'm currently on Lukaku, but I will be watching that Champions League game closely.
I'm
So,
currently on Salah,
yeah.
and I don't own Lukaku, and so the issue I have is, do I even get him in? And I probably will, because of we're playing a game against 7 million, 8 million other people, and lots of them will own him, lots of them will captain him if he goes off, which Lukaku could do, could score a brace, could score a hat trick against Norwich, easily done. If you don't own him, even if you captain elsewhere, if you don't own him, that's a massive red arrow, no matter what else happens.
Definitely.
But if you at least you own him, at least you're getting half those captaincy points from those who have captained him. I don't know about his effective ownership. I suspect it's going to be over 100%, but I'm not sure now.
I think it'll be my initial reaction or my initial thought was that they would both be just over 100. I think a lot depends on what happens midweek, but it's going to be close. But I think you're right in saying that owning them both is a very wise move this week. Just to kind of if one hauls and the other doesn't, just to kind of give yourself a chance this game week without guaranteeing a red.
And what you'll hear a lot, what people will hear a lot is, if you're not going to captain Lukaku against Norwich, why even own him? You've just spelled out why, because it's a very shrewd thing to do, to it's swords and shields, isn't it? You're protecting yourself. If he goes off, great, and then you've got him in place for the next week when he could be a captain.
He's got good fixtures to follow as well, hasn't he? So I think it makes sense for a period to bring him
And,
in.
and it retains value in that forward line, but you don't you can own him without captaining him. So you're going to get lots of arguments, the Salah people against the Lukaku people. They are both good options in their own right. Lukaku with the fixture, but in form, no. Salah in the form, and possibly with the fixture. Let's have a look at the whipping boys, where they are. So this is defences last 4 game weeks. Well, the immediate thing you notice is that Manchester United's defence on paper is worse than Norwich. There we go. So that says to me that perhaps Salah has the fixture as well as Lukaku. Watford's, I think that's partly down to the Liverpool game.
Wasn't the best start for
No, I
Ranieri,
mean,
was it? So.
good to see that Ben Foster captained Salah in FPL. He genuinely had done. But 10 big chances to see Watford, the whipping boys at the moment. They face Everton this week. But then you've got Manchester United are the second worst in terms of expected goals conceded, and then Norwich. And then the best, you're looking at the usual suspects, City, Arsenal. Interestingly, Leicester are starting to, their defence is starting to get better. Everton's is starting to shore up a bit. Brighton's still down there in the mix. But yeah, interesting, isn't it? Manchester United, actually not, I mean, we can see it with, we saw it with Maguire last week, but yeah, their defence isn't Very good.
No, completely agree. It's quite worrying times at United at the moment, but I normally back the fixture as a captain picker, and that is why I probably will end up with Lukaku. But certainly looking at these stats, it's a lot closer than what I first envisioned it would be. And I can totally understand why people are siding with Salah as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think this is going to come down to personality of the manager, attitudes to risk. Lukaku will be backed because people will see the fixture. Salah will be backed because they've seen his form. But as you said, I think it's going to pay to have a look at those minutes and those midweek Champions League games, and also listen out to Neil, what he's got to say for the team news video and podcast later in the week, because we're going to have. Much more. He'll better interpret really what some of the manager quotes are around those minutes, and whether it does perhaps put a question mark over them. You never know. Same could apply to Salah, but I'd be very surprised if Salah on this form against Manchester United is dropped. I'm just going to come out. I just don't think that's going to happen.
No, completely agreed. Lukaku is the one we want to keep an eye on, but hopefully, I mean, the ideal scenario would be maybe comes off the bench tomorrow, bags a goal to build up that confidence a little bit, and then we can captain him confidently on Saturday. It rarely works out like that, though, does it?
No.
So let's see.
There are other options. We always say that. I'm sure for most people it's going to be one of Salah or Lukaku, but there are other options. So that we'll have a look at the expected goal involvement per minutes. This is the last 4 game weeks. We can see how good Salah is. He's top of that, as he is for all of these metrics. Every time we put them up, he's top. But second is Vardy, and Vardy's interesting. Now Vardy is facing Brentford this week. And Brentford can be a tough defence, but Vardy for the captaincy, not just this week, but any week. I mean, why are we not captaining? Why don't we own Vardy?
I mean, he feels so overlooked, doesn't he? I think he scored 7 goals in 8 this season. He's got an assist. He's doing well for bonus too. Maybe Leicester prior to the weekend, the way they were playing was putting some managers off because although Vardy was ticking over, Leicester weren't clicking at all. But that seemed to change at the weekend. They shifted to that 3-5-2 formation so they could accommodate both Vardy and Iheanacho. The pair of them had played the game week before, but it was in a back four. But this time it was with that back three, and that was the system which was so successful towards the end of last season when Iheanacho was the one who was really thriving. Vardy was struggling a little bit. But this time, I mean, he's just in incredible form. The only thing which puts me off that is the Brentford game. I think we saw how well they played against Chelsea at the weekend. They were so unlucky in that, and that would make me be a bit hesitant on captaining him. But I've been saying that for a while now, and he keeps proving me wrong. So definitely an option, and it feels like the attention is slowly building around him after being a relative differential in the opening weeks, really.
Definitely. Going back to those expected goal involvement stats as well. Tony is right up there still. Largely through his shots inside the box, shots on target are quite low, but it's more of his assist potential. So this is perhaps what we're seeing. Well, we've been seeing for years, really, with the role of the striker. Who was one of the most successful World Cup strikers recently? Giroud for France. And they're just sort of assisting, holding the ball up. They're getting in the way, making a nuisance for themselves. So we're seeing the likes of, say, Salah and Mane, excelling as traditional goal scorers. But the actual striker, well, I say that as a week after Firmino gets a hat trick, but the traditional centre forward striker role is increasingly doing other things now. And Tony
Well,
gets an
you can
example.
see you can see his teammate a few down on that list there, Wemo, and he's the one who's benefiting from it. I mean, I think he's hit the post 6 times this season, but he's still ticking along nicely and he's offering value. But it's exactly like you say, he's the one who's thriving on and getting in behind when Tony seems to be dropping that little bit deeper and bringing others into play. But still a good option, Tony. I mean, I think the double up will be popular in a couple of weeks with those guys.
And what I'm finding interesting, Ronaldo is doing really well in the stats. Manchester United forwards who do well in the stats but don't score tend to eventually score a lot. I've been caught out before with Ibrahimovic and various others. But Ronaldo there, big chances, 3, 11 shots inside the box, and his shots on target, 6. And Fernandes is still up there as well in terms of expected goal involvement. So, you know, these are captaincy options still. Perhaps not this week, but, you know, to bear in mind. Let's have a look at the fixtures, see if anyone else appeals. So, yeah, I mean, we've got Arsenal, Villa, Chelsea, Norwich, we've always spoken about, Crystal Palace, Newcastle, Everton, Watford, Leeds, Wolves, Southampton, Burnley, Brighton against City, Brentford, Leicester, West Ham, Spurs, and Manchester United, Liverpool. So, I mean, anyone else appeal? I mean, I pulled out a couple of the City assets, maybe, and maybe even Son and Kane against West Ham. But, yeah, I mean, any of those?
Yeah, they're on my list as well. I mean, De Bruyne, we tipped him last week, didn't we? And he got 11 points. Just the one shot on target, mind, or just the one shot, actually, I think, at the weekend. But it feels like these are two of the best defences in the league this calendar year. I mean, Brighton have been incredible at the back, haven't they? I suppose with De Bruyne, he's nailed, he's a huge differential, but it is that Brighton defence. I think from open play this year, only City have got a better XGC than Brighton over the course of the season so far. And that says it all. I think there's traditionally been quite a few goals in this one.
I don't know. I do think there was a cup game. I think it may have been quarter final, semi final of the FA Cup, and we did lose 1-0, I think, to Jesus. But it was tight. Yeah. And I remember
that was the one I think I looked at. Yeah.
And Guardiola has noted Brighton's defence, so I don't think he's going to come at this, all gung ho.
No.
So we'll see. But yeah, the Brighton defence, it is gelling this season, definitely.
Yeah, I think that puts me off a bit. And again, we say this every week, but the usual rotation concerns are around everybody else. I mean, Mahrez, we spoke about him. He got the start, didn't deliver. It was Grealish's turn for a benching last weekend, wasn't it? Foden played. But again, I mean, the Bruges lineup today might help us a little bit. But even so, I don't think you can be that confident going in saying he will definitely start. So unfortunately, from City, it does feel like De Bruyne is the only real option at the moment in terms of a captain.
On the Scoutcast tonight, we're going to be chatting more about the captaincy. But one of the things we're going to be focusing on is some of those players like Vardy that we are ignoring, or many people are ignoring for the captaincy, and sticking with the likes of Lukaku and Ronaldo. Another player to mention is Kane. Notice his shots in the box. Tally's shooting up again. He's on the score sheet. Son as well. Yeah, Kane or Son against West Ham?
It feels quite a hard match to call, this one. They both won at the weekend. I think Spurs have looked a lot better over the last two. They've gone to a 4-2-3-1. Ndombele's come in for Dele Alli, and I think they look a lot better with that. Son, I'm still frustrated from the whole COVID room. I took him out of my team on Saturday morning for Foden. I mean, that was the information we had at hand at the time. I kind of had to react to that. But then watching him score at Newcastle, it was a bit frustrating. But yeah, I love him as an option. He's consistent. This game feels tough to me to call. It's a bit of a derby, isn't it? Kane, I expect he'll start ticking over now. He's got that first Premier League goal of the season as well. I imagine we'll be talking about them more in the coming weeks. In terms of captaincy, I think the fixtures get really good from game week 12 onwards. Not somebody I'm looking at. Happy to own this week. Wouldn't captain them necessarily. But yeah, you get the feeling we'll be talking about Son and Kane quite a bit soon. So
definitely. I mean, in a way, we've already scraped the barrel if we're going to ignore the fixture of Lukaku and the form of Salah. And when you're on a one of these videos and the barrel scraping time is Son and Kane, then you know the options are strong further up in the show. So if you're just joining us at this stage, go back to the beginning, because that's when we mentioned the key players for us. So I think for me, definitely, I hadn't been swayed really by any of the stats. It's just going to be international minutes. I think Salah is just the one for me. It was something I identified. I'd had a few red arrows in a row, and I was looking like, why am I getting these red arrows as opposed to the green arrows? And one of the things I identified was I just should be just captaining Salah more. I'm not saying necessarily every week, but certainly more. And also not over managing as well. So I decided to do nothing last week. So I finally got a green arrow, and I'm gonna do less, the obvious things. And For me, capsing salad just seems obvious at the moment.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that consistency. I mean, it's just like nothing else we've seen before, and I totally get that. It's just that this is a big, big match, and United could turn up for it. They haven't in recent weeks, but they've got the ability to do that. They shut down a lot of big teams. The counter-attacking style probably suits Ole a little bit more in that setup. Do I think they'll keep a clean sheet against Liverpool? No, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to get tanked 2-3 nil. So I think I expect Chelsea to win that Norwich game by 2 to 3 goals. And Lukaku, it feels like he's due, doesn't it? It feels like it's time. But yeah, equally good option. Well, both very good options this week. It's close, right?
Definitely. I think for some people, it's going to swing between the two, vice and
Yeah.
captain. It's just going to keep going to the wire, and it's just whichever one you end up on as well. But hopefully, we've helped with that decision that's going to be looming towards the end of the week. But in the meantime, Tom, thanks so much for joining me. Good luck with your decision to captain Lukaku or Salah or whoever. And see you again. I'm not around next week, by the way. I think it'd be Az filling in.
Yeah,
I'll
and
be
I think
around
we're
next
going to
week.
do it. I think we're going to do it. I think it's going to be on the Monday next
Okay.
week as well. But we'll obviously confirm that in due course.
Yeah, we'll let everyone know. But Tom, thanks a lot.
Brilliant. Thanks, James. See you soon.